And how many would agree a restaurant ought to close up unless it's a buffet, right? Unless, of course, it's Olive Garden, which we went to today. But I love buffets. But when it comes to the ingredient that takes a person to heaven, there's only one ingredient on the buffet, and it's our Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I realize that I don't have another good idea. I have the answer. You said, what'd they say in Washington when you went there? I had 300 leaders in the Ways and Means room, and I said that a boy was going to hang himself with his computer cord. He threw it away, and then I went as far as saying to them in D.C., and I said, and this boy asked Christ to save him on his birthday. He said, today I'm alive instead of dead because I asked Christ to save me instead of killing myself. You say, what in the world did they respond like? They decided to make me their number one first choice speaker to travel the whole country and get into any school in the United States of America under this government program. How many believe revival seeds are happening? Lord, we thank you for the way that you've opened up doors in the Williamsport area this week. God, use everything that happens for your glory and honor. I pray that Wednesday night there would be people find out that they can have a solid rock that they can stand on, and in the service tonight, that people would realize that we have not just a good idea, but we have the answer for all the mess we see around us. Thank you for the revival seeds that are starting to come to fruition there in our nation's capital. We pray that you would work through the meeting they just had with the Capital Connection and with 1,000 Christians there and preaching about revival. Thank you for Pastor Sexton and from that he had a chance to go there and challenge the people and to get this direction of our country in a different direction. Pray you'll speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Ephesians 1. I've got a very new message. I've never preached this before. And I honestly believe our God is a previous God. And so I want to speak tonight on God is always previous. Ephesians 1 verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from our God and Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Look at that again. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, we were predestined to be without blame and holy. It doesn't say we were predestined to go to heaven or hell. God didn't create us to go to hell. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen? And anybody who teaches that is teaching wrong when you compare scripture to scripture, where other places says he's not willing that any should perish. So, but he knew me before the foundation of the world and had this plan of salvation for millions and trillions and zillions, and for that matter, forever past. Now, go to Romans 8:28, and I'm going to show you something that when you tie these thoughts together, it is so incredible. God's plan of salvation was forever, and all the predictions of the Old Testament came true in the New Testament as they were fulfilled, which is amazing. And in Romans 8:28, he says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Did you know God's purpose for you was known? There's never been a time when it wasn't known to God. God has always had you in mind. Now, this is going to lead us to a precious thing. Go with me to Psalm 139. So we know that everything that happens in our life happens according to his purpose. Because God is always before us. He is always, 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 always previous. Now, if you go to Psalm 139, verse 1, look at our previous God here, who knows us so much He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. For thou hast possessed me, verse 13, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, what he's basically saying here is even when you were in the belly of your mother, even though you were a glob, it all had a purpose. When you weren't fully formed yet, God had a purpose. God knew everything about that glob that was in that womb growing. Now, how much did God know you? God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you came out of your mother's womb. I knew you even before the foundations of the earth, which means that life didn't begin at conception. It never had a beginning. God knew us forever. You were in his mind way back. So obviously any kind of killing what's in the womb is a murder, because God had a plan for that person forever. Now, hang on to this. God says in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, I know in math class, I haven't had it for a while, but when you take the sum of something, you are taking the addition of something. So God is going to add up how many times he's thought about you. Now, this may come as an impossibility to our brain, but that's because we're finite and he's infinite. Now, watch what he says. If I should count them, that's how many thoughts that he's had toward me, they are more in number than the sand. And when I'm awake, I'm still with thee. Never sleeps, never slumbers. God is always awake. Now, this is what's incredible. God says, I've thought about you more than the sand. Now, pick up a handful of sand and count every pebble. He said, that would take me a while. But then count every pebble on the whole planet. He said, that would take a long time. And God says, I've thought about you more than the sand. You say, well, how could God do that with billions of people? Because he's had forever to do it. Wow. He's always a previous God. Now, hang on. I'm about to get excited. How many think the Bible's an exciting book? Go to John 10. Wait till you see how I'm going to pull this together. God showed me this truth by comparing scripture with scripture, and I did want you to turn to these tonight because I want you to see it and hear it. God's thought about us more than the sand, right? He's known us in the belly of the mother. We know that all things happen for a purpose, according to Romans 8:28. And we know that God had the plan of salvation before the foundation of the earth. Now, keep all that in mind as we look at this next verse. In John 10, verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep. Now, there are sheep and goats in the Bible. The sheep are the Christians. The goats are the fake, phony baloney. But the sheep are the real Christians. So when he putteth forth his real Christians, his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Wow. In other words, God is everywhere I go before I get there. Because God is a previous God. Now, if I really believe this, then I can go forth not with self-confidence, but with God confidence. Because whatever happens when I get there is going to happen for a reason. So if God is there before us, and he's previous, and he's eternal, and I'm only finite, to know that God was in this pulpit before I got to this pulpit. The other week, when I had stretched my legs in a way that I shouldn't have stretched them, Every time I walked in the gym, God was in the gym playing volleyball through me before I got there. And that's why when I was walking in like this, I was able to play during the, because God is a previous God. And I believe it with all of my heart that when we understand this, that God is there before we get there, it'll change everything about the way we think. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to use a lot of Bible because I believe the Bible is powerful, don't you? In Deuteronomy 1:27, they forgot something. They forgot God was previous. And in Deuteronomy 1:27, look at this. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. Please say this. God goes before us. Say it. And we see it right here. They were looking at all the enemies and they forgot God was there with the enemies before they got there. Now you say, what did this do to God? Wait till you see that this didn't cause God to just say, well, my people aren't believing in me. I hope they'll get right. It's like God got furious about this. So this is an important truth and you'll see this in a few minutes. So he said, they're looking at all the great cities and all the enemy, and that's what Christians are doing in the United States of America right now. Oh, we're in a mess, and all the government, and all the refuge cities, or the, whatever they call it, sanctuary cities, and oh, look at all the stuff that's, and we got our eyes on all this human stuff, and God says, do you not remember I'm there before them? I am there before you get there to speak in D.C. I was in that Ways and Means room before you got there. And I even said, to make America great again, we have to bring Jesus back again. What'd they say? They responded to it in a great way. Now, but the America, do you know what's going on around us? But he says this, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now, because of the fact that God is before us, and there before we get there, never worry. So let's say that together. Never worry. Never worry. Now, for each person who doesn't speak when I ask you to, I lengthen the sermon 5 minutes per person who is not talking. So number one, never worry. Now, this is the truth. It is useless to worry. Let me say that again. I'm going to try to keep coming up and down. It is useless to worry. It accomplishes zero. Now, if God is everywhere I go before I get there, why in the world would I worry then? And I'm preaching to homes. Why would I worry about anything? Now, we know all things, oh, I'm supposed to do this. All things work together for good. Say that for good. Why? Because God's purpose and plan is always right. And he's in charge of everything. Now, you say, what is a disappointment? A disappointment comes from two words, dis and appointment. Dis means broken. So if you put it together, you have broken appointment. Do you mean to tell me that I can go through my life and never be disappointed ever again? That's right. You say, how can I go through my life and never be have a broken appointment? That's, there you go. You never have set us in your mind how you think something's going to go. Here's the truth. Let's just say 5 people come Wednesday night. 5 people. That's it. How many believe every single soul is precious to God? Now, if 5 people come, it's a disappointment, right? No, it's not, because it was appointed by God for those 5 to be there. And by the way, it's appointed for you to be in the pew you're at right now. So I pray that you'll really hear this tonight. So number one, never be disappointed, because wherein he hath abounded toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even him in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Listen to that again. He worketh all things. Say that. He what?
He worketh all things.
Is the Bible true? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you mean to tell me that every single thing that happens is a purpose? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now let me say this. If we can grab a hold of this, every single thing that happens in our life is appointed by God. So go to your dictionary, take some scissors with you, and cut out the word disappointment. It does not exist in the Christian life. Now, you'll have emotions, of course, that get sad when things happen. I'm not saying that. But when I say, if you could understand that everything still has a purpose and plan by God, you'll never have a broken appointment to where it affects you to where you leave God's will. And God says that he will give us wisdom from himself because of the fact that he's a previous God. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow! Do you mean that God, because he always existed and always knew me, that the struggles I'm going through in my life right now, he has under control? But you don't know my life. It's all messed up. The pieces of the puzzle are all over the place. But how many know God? How many of you in the church tonight know that God can bring the pieces of the puzzle together? Now hang on to this. If God is before us, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the I am has sent me to you. What was he saying? My present God is with us right now for me to lead you. God is an I am present God for right now. He was here in the right now years ago, zillions of years ago. God was here forever. And so God is an I am God. He's not just a past tense God and a future tense God. He is a present tense God. And that's what I want you to know now as I lead you. Now please follow this. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the I am has sent me to you. In other words, he's near us now. He's a comforter now. He's present now. Yes, we can look in the past, but did you notice in the Bible that every time you see the past things that have happened, God said, I want it to be to help you now in your life? So we see what God has done in the past and read about what he will do in the future as we read through Revelation, but he is now with us. God is our refuge and strength. Listen, a very present help in trouble. In trouble? Yeah. You say, my life is in trouble. Well, he is a present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still and know that I am God, and I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. How many would agree with me? It's time we start exalting Jesus again.
Amen.
In the church. You say, how do we exalt Jesus in the church? You come in with an expectant spirit. And you come in saying, God is going to do something. God is going to do something.
Amen.
God is going to bless the efforts of Tom. God is going to do something. God is with us now. He is an I am God for Williamsport. Right now. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Now, would you please check your pulse, everybody? Are you alive? Let me hear if you're alive.
Amen.
If you're alive, God's here in the land of the living tonight. Now, we may not feel like we're alive sometimes, but he is your portion now. Because God is a previous God, he's with us now because he always knew about now forever past. So here it comes. Never worry, never get a disappointment. And number three, God is a God for today. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Sounds like a present tense God for the time of trouble. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What was he saying that to? Some present tense people that were with him at the time, going through a storm in the ocean. And God said, why are you worried? I'm with you now. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. It is I. I am with you now. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. I am the Lord, your Holy One. Did you hear that? I am the Lord, your Holy One. For now, the creator of Israel. Now, I thought God was a distant God. You know where we got this from? From the false religions. You know, we come to church and God's way off there somewhere. And here we are, the little creatures down here. And God's not interested in us because he's way off there somewhere in his holiness. I am your God for now. I am and I am. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A week before last. God, I can't walk. I can hardly get off the airplane thanks to my son-in-law telling me to stretch. I literally was wheelchaired to the gate. This is the volleyball player. Wheelchair volleyball. And I honestly, God, I'm here to play 50 games. Don't you know I already know it? Don't you know I was there before you even go in the first gym? Now, listen to this. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Was I afraid? Every one of the first six schools, I was afraid. God did it again and again. Why? He wants precious souls to hear the truth. He doesn't want any of these kids killing themselves. He doesn't want you killing yourself. And church people are now killing themselves. But if we can get a hold of this truth tonight, it'll mean so much to your heart. Knowing that God really does care about you, to think about you more than the sand. And if he's thought about us that much, don't kill what God has thought about so long. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So, he's a present help. John says, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, we saw that before, but I want you to understand, God used Abraham because God knew he was there before he got there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the I am has sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the Lord God that you saw your fathers be blessed so much, is the same God for you. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this shall is my memorial unto all generations. Guess what? God is an I am God for every generation. How many can think that's wonderful to know? And if God's forever, you say, what's going to happen if we don't have another generation the way you think? God is there. And what we ought to have our eyes on is what I'm preaching tonight. God is our refuge and strength, very present help. Though the earth be removed And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the Democrats are separate from... I am with thee in the time of trouble. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I cried unto my Lord and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, I am with thee and will bless thee and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more forever. Why? I'm here with you now. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That means he's strength for every generation to come to be their God in their life. His strength is everlasting. It'll be there for every single generation. But the ship now, as we know in the Bible, in Matthew, I'd still have you go there, but I just want you to hear it because I got a lot of scripture. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And he says, I don't want you to worry. Fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee my deep in the deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not, I cannot desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should overtake or try to overtake, though all hell, God will never, never forsake. Amen. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Why? He's not just with us, but he's there before we get there. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. And on we see these things. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because you're worrying right now is because you're forgetting that I am a God for today. And why are you worrying about tomorrow today? When tomorrow will be tomorrow, the I am God for that day. So be not fearful, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine! Exclamation mark. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. Isaiah 43:2. Can you cast everything on a God like this? If you cast it out there, don't reel it back. Because when you reel it back, you're finite. And with you, it'll be, what do I do next? What scheme can I come up with? So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. Are you with me? How can I leave it there? Because Jesus is there already. Leave it there. Don't take your burdens to yourself. You will never figure it out. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth. Of the midst of the fire, they weren't burned. Why? Because the I am God was with them at the I am time of that time. My times are in thy hand. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, but it's all in God's time. And if we can get a hold of this tonight, it'll bring absolute revival to this church. The I am. So number one, what should we do? We should never worry. We should never have a disappointment. We should always trust him and not fear and know that he's there to meet our need now. Bible says, am I a God at hand? I'm a God at hand, which means I'm a God for now. And not a God afar off, Jeremiah 23 says in verse 23. I am a God at hand. And that's why he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because you're doing it for somebody who's got your hand, and you just keep on going, and God will strengthen that. Oh God, be not far from me. Make haste for my help, Psalm 71:12. Now, how can he help us that quick? Because he is a present God. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the land of the future. We'll take care of that another day. In the land of the past, we'll look back so we can get the strength for now. I'll meditate on what happened all through this Bible so it can help me now. So in the land of the past, in the land of the future, no, in the land of the living, I would have fainted unless I'd believed this. Oh God, our help in ages past, a hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure, sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while troubles last, and our eternal home. But how is that going to all happen if we don't see him today? He's the I am for pastor. He's the I am for our continued outreach this week. He's the I am for our deacons. He is the I am for each and every person in the church. He's the I am for the future of the youth group, brother youth pastor. He's the I am day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. Boy, these hymn writers knew the Bible. Isn't it amazing? You can always tell by how they wrote they knew the Scriptures. How many are glad they knew the Scriptures? Amen. In whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling with toil and peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me. With a special mercy for each hour. How come? The I am is here. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. He will be measure for the strength we need each day. Because each day we can face a God of the now again and again and again and again and again and again. Because he lives, because he's been there, because he's there in Montoursville High School tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. He's already there helping me play volleyball. So should I be doing this tonight and not getting any sleep tonight because I got to play volleyball tomorrow and I have no idea what my leg's going to do? Should I do that? No, sir. So we've got to see this truth tonight. Timing is in God's hands. Now, I do want you to do something with me. It's so important. Go to Matthew 6:25. Now, I realize I've been very competitive. I've been very repetitive tonight because it's a precious truth to repeat over and over. How many believe our God deserves praise and worship? Amen. And it's sure worth repeating this over and over because that exalts how good God is. Now, I'm going to hit it from a little bit of a different angle. Before you look at Matthew 6, would you look at me just for a minute? What does the Bible say? Give us this day our what bread? Daily bread. There's another proof right there that God is wanting to have today be what's important. Now look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. No thought? But I'm here. And I know you got the same problem I have. Everywhere I go, there I am. So he says, take no thought for your life. How? What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? That's all the unsaved people live for. But my life has more to live for than just what I'm eating and drinking and what I got in my bank. And he says in the next verse, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, aren't you more important to God than even the birds are? Because you've got a soul and you're made in his image and on and on. And so here's what he's saying. God takes care of the birds and the fowls and the lilies and the flowers. And not one lily was shaking, wondering. Or not one bird had a nervous breakdown. Why? God's feeding them every day. Right? And then in the next verse, I thought of this. We were eating in the restaurant today in that spiritual restaurant called Olive Garden. And pastor's sitting across from me, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if I could illustrate this verse tonight? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? So I was thinking of bringing in one of these Roman execution devices where it's called a stretch table. And I would put pastor on the stretch table and start stretching him to make him taller. Now, how many would think, boy, Holmes is cruel. Holmes is treating our pastor bad. Raise your hands. Oh, my word, the rest of you want me to do it. Wow. You say, that won't help to stretch him. It might hurt, but it won't help. And that's what God is saying right there. So why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whereof shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's all they live for. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Wow. Sufficient unto the day. Today. That's all we have to think about. God, am I trusting you this moment? Am I trusting you now? That's what's important. Present help. This day. Our daily bread. Now. Am I trusting him? God is a now God for the sparrows. He's a now God for the lilies. He's a now God for us because we're more important than them to him. God will be there tomorrow for tomorrow's day. Follow me. God will be there tomorrow for tomorrow's day. Think of it this way. God is now there for you tomorrow today. Think about that. If he's previous, he's already in Montoursville tomorrow. So if he's already a tomorrow God today, then why should I worry today about tomorrow? I got to tell you this. Some of you heard it, some of you didn't. A businessman came to one of my school assemblies, and he loved it, and he said, we need somehow to get you into Charlotte sometime. 3 months passed. I hadn't heard from him, so I called him up. And I said, I'd love to come to Charlotte, North Carolina. Guess what? He was in Phoenix in the airport, 2,000 miles away from Charlotte. And he's hearing my voicemail, would you show my video to the superintendent of Charlotte? Right after he heard the voicemail, he looked up, and 2,000 miles from Charlotte comes the Charlotte superintendent in his airport. And the craziest thing, he was scheduled to sit with him on the airplane. You say, how could that happen? Because God is a previous God. He was there in that airport terminal before I left the voicemail. doing his work. He's a previous God. He had your past yesterday. Don't you think he has you now? Go to Psalm 78. I am going to have you go here. You say, how many places are we going to go to? I have no idea. This is a precious book, and I'm going to close with Psalm 78. But don't breathe too much because the closing is longer than the intro. All right. Psalm 78. I'm kidding. Don't anybody walk out. Okay. Now, in Psalm 78, I'm going to show you something that I think you'll find quite amazing. Because the Bible's so alive, it always speaks to us. And in verse 5 of Psalm 78, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. How many believe God wants the young people around Williamsport to know there's the answer in this Bible? Amen. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That they what? Might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation today. They should look at the fathers from the past and recognize what happened so they wouldn't have what happened to them today to them. A generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoar. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams out of a rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And what happened? They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. What does the word provoking mean? It means they brought him to extreme anger. So this isn't something where God says, well, you just need to believe a little more. Have more faith. God actually gets provoked when we don't believe him. Something to think about. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They saw all the miracles. But can God today feed us? How's he going to furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the door of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angel's food. Now, this wasn't angel food cake. But man did eat, it was sent by God directly to them. He sent them meat to the full, and he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. See all that he did for them? And they didn't think God would handle today. They ate, were taken care of miraculously. And verse 30 says they were not estranged from their lust. While their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Then I love verse 38, in all the midst of all this, but he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned his anger away, and he did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yet they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what our churches are now doing in the United States of America. We're limiting God to work because we're coming in with a spirit of, oh, God can't do it. It's 2018. Things are too bad. God can't do what he did in Billy Sunday's day. Garbage! Everybody say it just like I said it. Garbage. Say it again. Garbage. That's not true. Our God can work like he did in Billy Sunday's day. I'm about to break a chair like he did. But they're metal. It'll be an awful hard job. And they spoke against God. You can't. How can you furnish a table in the wilderness? How can you take care of us today? Look around us. Now I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. Amazing. I moved to Tennessee from New Hampshire. Quite a move. Quite a different weather. And I moved to Tennessee, not for the weather, but because God led us down there. And my house didn't sell for over a year and had to have two house payments. Went in debt probably, between $10,000 and $20,000 from that. And then my roof had a problem where I moved to, which we didn't know because they didn't do a good inspection. And we had to replace the whole roof. Then the septic started coming up through the basement. And then my major well in New Hampshire had a major problem for $7,000. And then there were many, many schools that weren't able to pay for assemblies and a few meetings canceled due to some situations of weather. And I went about $83,000 in a mess. And I was praying, oh, God, help us. And how many believe to God there's no amount of money that's a stress to him, right? So we were praying and asking God to help us. And what really is amazing is that here we were, and we were praying for God to provide. Now, it's kind of interesting how you try to figure it out. Maybe I need to call Bill Gates. Or maybe I need to find some foundation that'll take care of this that loves bullying messages. Well, all of a sudden, out of the blue, a man called me up that knew me from years ago. He said, I just had a guy call me, and he said, do you know any ministry that's hitting the pavements and trying to reach people? And this was a businessman that had talked to my friend that knew me from years ago. He said, yes, I know this guy. He plays teams by himself to try to reach teens, and as far as I know, he's still doing it. So he called me up and said, are you still doing the volleyball thing? I said, well, haven't stopped yet for 35 years. I'm still doing it, playing. I had 300 games in the last 12 weeks. So he said, you're still doing this? I said, yes. He said, I'm going to tell the guy and send him your video because he said there are some ministries out there that he wants to support. And I said, wow, praise the Lord. 3 weeks went by. Not an answer back. I had given my bank account routing and checking number to someone I didn't know. And 3 weeks went by. And then all of a sudden, the teller at my bank called me up and said, I think you mean to come in here to see if this is for real. It must be because it's in your account now. We now have $83,000 added to your account. I said, wow, it's taken care of the roof, it's taken care of the septic, it's taken care of the problem in New Hampshire, it's taken care of all the past debt from not having sold the home in time. And if I never had a problem, I'd never know how God could solve them. How many believe our God can handle things? Amen. And if we trust him, Ira Stanfill, wife went into entertainment, and she didn't want him to continue in the ministry, so she left him. And he's all alone. And then his wife died in a car accident. And he wrote that hymn. What hymn? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. His presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his blood. Wow. Written when his wife left him because she hated the ministry and wanted to take her talent to be paid by the world. Say, what kept him going? Knowing the I Am God is with him now. The I Am God was there allowing things to happen, and it encouraged him. Now, listen very, very close to this, and I am finished, I promise, because I want you back tomorrow night. And I was going to ask the question, how many of you are coming back for part three tomorrow night? And if one isn't coming, I'm going to preach it now. So how many are coming back Monday night? Please try your best. If God is attending to us now, then please attend the meeting. If God is attending to us now, then let's show up. And you can't be in two meetings at the same time. That lady didn't want the ministry. She wanted to entertain and get money and fame. And we can't be in two meetings at the same time. So why not attend God's meeting with you now and attend it every day? The agenda for the meeting is happening now, tomorrow. The bullet points of this meeting have to do with what you are facing now. And remember, he knew the bullet points in your meeting that you're having with him and planned the meeting zillions of years ago. So don't try to go to the meeting that he has for you tomorrow. Stay with the one he's got for you now and listen close. Get the calls from God right from the scripture. Order my steps in thy word. And God, take my life and help me not to worry. Help me, as the hymn writer said, to live day by day. I know it's hard to be in a new church. Brother youth pastor just got here a little while ago. What's going to happen tomorrow? Am I going to be able to reach kids in this community? And we can get so worried. But what he ought to do is just say, day unto day. Day unto day. Pastors face a lot of battles. Pray for your pastor. I believe a pastor has a harder job than the president of a nation. And if we really believed it, we would pray for him earnestly and all the time. I could say so much more. But what I'm encouraged to say tonight is come back tomorrow night for part two. Because I'm going to show you a continuation of these thoughts tomorrow night that you don't want to miss. But let me say that our God is able. Say, our God is able. And all he tells us to do, and boy, it takes pressure off, doesn't it? All he says is live for the moment. Live for right now. Tom may be thinking, oh, I hope people come Wednesday night. I've done all these hours and hours for homes. I've answered his calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, not really. Not that bad. 2 a.m. One time I did send out a message, and I'd forgotten what time it was. It was real late. I thought it was like 9, and it was like 1 in the morning. I was working so hard. And I texted somebody, do you know it's 1 in the morning? Anyway, but he may be concerned, you know, what's going to happen. But you know what? Today is all we have to think about. Boy, that's going to cause a lot of nervous breakdowns to stop. It's going to cause a lot of people to say, boy, if God has it all appointed, I don't need a disappointment, so I'm not going to go in depression over disappointment. I'm not going to go into depression over tomorrow's fears. I'm going to live for now and trust God now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious truth of the Word of God that you are a present help in trouble. Now, let me ask you a question. How many would say as a Christian tonight, I know Jesus is my Savior, but the message challenged me tonight to only live from day to day, and I want God to help me to attend the daily meetings. Would you raise your hands real high? I want God to help me be there today for God. Amen. Lord, it's amazing how we can see some miracles happen, and then the minute a trial comes, we worry again. And I could look at the 100 schools last year, that last couple of years, where I was on the phone and principals said, we're out of budget, and I said, I'm coming anyway. And God, you've taken care of miraculous funding at different times at the very moment I needed it. And I know I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I'm going to live for today. With that in mind, if this message has challenged you to repent of worry. Now notice the words I chose there, repent of it, because God, as we saw tonight, gets furious when we don't do this. So how many would say, I want God to help me repent of worry? Would you raise your hands? And ask God to help you to go day by day and trust him. And Lord, I pray again, Lord, for the rest of the week, that you would have your hand on it. I pray for the week. I won't worry about the week. But I'll pray for the week and ask you to help in the assemblies and in the Monday night's message at 7, Tuesday night's message at 7, and Wednesday night's outreach at Loyal Sock High School. With that in mind, Pastor will come and close the service however he feels led at this time. Pastor.
All right, everyone, let me have your attention, please. Thank the Lord for that message, Brother Bob. Really, use of the Lord already in our midst. We greatly appreciate it. Day by day, so important. God, he's the God of the past, he's the God of the future, but he is the I am in all of those. I am. I got three statements. I want to read it and we'll close. First message, I wrote this down. How can I get to the center where they are? How can I get to the center where they are? That's evangelism. Seeking. God is always before me. Oh, that is such a precious truth. God is always before me before I get there. Before Abraham was, I am. Every past thing in the Bible is to help me right now. By the way, so is everything in the future. That's to help us right now. In Jeremiah 23:23, I am a God at hand. So good. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you are the answer in life, because you are life. I pray that everyone here would, if they haven't done so already, place their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation from their sins. And then allow that life to be perfectly formed in them. And enjoy their life, because Christ is their life. You are our portion, dear Lord, in the land of the living. That means you're the satisfying part. Thank you, Christ, for being that. I found that to be true again and again and again. You are the satisfaction of my soul. I pray that everyone knows that, Lord. And Father, revive our spirits as we continue to look to you day by day as our portion in the land of the living, the satisfying part. All God's people say, amen. God bless your disciples.